Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hi, this is Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. And tonight we're going to be talking about our recap episode from the top stories in real estate in Brooklyn from October. And here's our host, as always, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, and tonight, Jason is with Rising Tide Marketing, and tonight our end of October month show recapping hot things that have happened in Brooklyn over the last month. And Jason has done his usual stellar job in unearthing all of those good hot things that we all know about Brooklyn real estate, and tonight is no different. So, Jason, what are you starting us off with tonight?
Well, since this is October, I don't know if we should go with a Halloween theme, but I guess it really depends on where you're sitting as to how scary the stories would be if you're a buyer or a seller. But since we're already past Halloween, I think that more appropriately tonight's running theme is focusing on neighborhoods, and we'll see several of the stories dealing with that. The first one, however, comes from Forbes, and Forbes, for a magazine like Forbes, we do seem to find quite a bit of Brooklyn real estate stories creeping into what Forbes covers. We've had a lot of articles that we've discussed on our recap shows come from Forbes. So it is interesting to see that the Brooklyn real estate market is reaching all different types of media outlets. And this first story deals with the coming influx of new inventory in terms of new construction, new condos and buildings that are going up. It's something we really haven't covered much of on the show in terms of recap stories, because we've mostly talked about prices are soaring and there's no more inventory. Now we're seeing that the lack of inventory has necessitated for them to build new inventory, and the prices are even soaring before those new inventories are even done. So I thought that was a little bit interesting with what I took away from this story.
Yeah, you're right. The it's amazing all of the new construction still continuing to go on. Inventory is tight. Prices obviously reflect that by going up. And they're talking about average prices in new developments at $1.5 million in all the new construction condos that are going up. So that is a pretty hefty price for stuff that's going around in Brooklyn. The average price, $1.5 million, and that's probably for a relatively small apartment, maybe looking in the wrong direction of Brooklyn or the rivers. But it is they are crazy prices. And as you point out, they're building to take care of the lack of inventory, and it's still not enough. It's in fact causing prices to go even higher.
And we get from this new report that the median sales prices of homes in Brooklyn have reached a new 8-year high at $675,000 for a median home price, and with that, a new record being set for average price per square foot, with $950 per square foot being the average. And this also doesn't people might read this or initially look at it and take away, all this new construction or these new places coming to the market, that means that anybody who's selling or thinking about selling or has a place is going to, you know, get squeezed out. It makes a note that there's still a dearth of inventory. So I don't think that, at least my takeaway is that this new inventory, these new condos that are on the way, are going to negatively impact the existing inventory.
No, not at all. It's not like there's a glut driving down the prices. There's still a demand. But, you know, one thing they do point out in this article is that middle and lower market listings there's a shortage of inventory there. So ordinary people like you and I, Jason, on the one end, we can't afford $1.5 million for an apartment. And on the other end, you know, whatever shekels we've managed to scrape together, we can't find anything in the middle and lower end of the market. So it's really a pretty unique marketplace, you know, for this time.
Our next story, we're going to jump into a piece from the New York Times. It's our first story that touches on Brooklyn neighborhoods, and it just seemed interesting to me. Maybe it was because of, you know, with the change of season into fall now, maybe we're going to be kind of reexamining where the market is headed or where it currently is by, you know, by the quarter, and then now that we're into fall, we're going to be looking at some neighborhoods to maybe spark some interest in an up-and-coming neighborhood, or even to look at a neighborhood that has undergone a change. In this case, Red Hook gets a spotlight as a neighborhood on the rebound. And this, of course, has to do with the effects of Hurricane Sandy and how now we're far enough out from the hurricane to see the neighborhood starting to come back a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting to see some folks who talk about Red Hook and identify the risks of living there, given, you know, the propensity for another storm like Sandy, but they think that the risk living there is well worth the risk.
Well, you know, Red Hook is a really unique spot in Brooklyn geography, overlooking Manhattan, the Statue of Liberty, water all around it, pretty secluded, beautiful park area, a ton of old buildings that were used for storage in the early 1900s. And when, trade changed, all of these buildings and piers became obsolete, but nonetheless the architecture and the infrastructure is still there, and it makes for a sort of a unique addition to a community, being able to live in a community that still has remnants of things more than a century ago. And you're right, it did suffer a horrible hit after Sandy. And for years they were in the repair mode. But now, once again, similar to our other story, you know, condos are going up, some townhomes are going in, and the prices are pretty hefty. Here some of them are talking about in the mid $2 million range. I even see those are for townhomes. And then condos, although you could get a condo for $597, you could also get one for $6.5 million, and that's in Red Hook. So, story of more condos is still going on. The one knock against Red Hook is transportation. You got to take a bus in and out of it. No train goes there. Although, with de Blasio's plan to have this trolley running along, you know, the edges of Brooklyn, maybe that will change. But I think that trolley idea is maybe a little whimsical, and if not whimsical, a bit distant in the future. So it still will remain, you know, a two-fare zone and probably not all that attractive to people who have been used to the L train, you know, going through Williamsburg to take them to, you know, one or two stops into the city to take them to work. Here you have to work a little harder, you know, to get to work, to get out of the neighborhood.
And like you mentioned with the pricing, it is, as almost all of Brooklyn now, the challenges is the clientele for this inventory. What types of folks are they? What type of professionals are they? And where they're at in terms of family size? Because you're looking at least in Red Hook, according to this, about $800,000 for a one-bedroom condo, and up to about $3 million almost for a townhouse. So it is a little bit pricey if you're a young family, or even if you're a young professional. Doesn't seem to be that the type of clientele that this area would attract. And we're going to move right into our next story, also from the New York Times. And as you touched on in the previous story about Red Hook being impacted potentially by the lack of transportation to Red Hook, Greenpoint may, according to this piece, may be the beneficiary of areas affected by the L train line. At least according to this, it's projecting that this area in Brooklyn could be where folks go to look to live, given the fact that the L train is going to be under some heavy renovation.
Yeah, it's interesting how the train renovation is driving, you know, some real estate development or interest in other communities, Red Hook being one of them, and now it seems as if the G train is, you know, increasing in popularity as the L train's popularity, you know, wanes, you know, during the period of Reconstruction. And, you know, Greenpoint got a little passed over with the hype for Williamsburg, although, you know, similar types of communities. But right now, I guess Greenpoint is, you know, with the possible disruption in the L, things are quieting down a little in Williamsburg and, you know, heating up a little in Greenpoint. You know, it was interesting. I was on the East River Drive the other night. I was a passenger for a change, so I was able to, you know, look out the window a little more than I do as a driver. And, you know, as you get towards Midtown on the East River Drive, you look over and there's Greenpoint. And there was this really tall building, which they show in the article, I think, India Street. They're talking, it's probably 40 or 50 stories. And the picture they show in the article that we're talking about says that condos will start on the 28th floor. So I guess below that is commercial, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But, you know, this tower just rose out of nowhere, and everything around it is, you know, one- or two-story buildings and maybe warehouses. And here all of a sudden this this luxury building is going in with spectacular unobstructed views. It's pretty crazy how, you know, this just building just sort of popped out of nowhere along the East River.
Well, it does mention the title is The Changing Waterfront. It does talk about, like in Red Hook, all the new construction, the construction going on along the waterway, and a really great quote from this piece jumped out at me where a fellow by the name of Daniel Levy, who's the CEO of City Realty, says that he refers to Greenpoint as the Dubai of the East River, which it's funny to really think of it in that regard, but you know, I guess we're at that point where, you know, Brooklyn is being compared to some of the most luxurious destinations, at least for property, you know, on the globe. And,
Dubai is it certainly catches your attention.
yeah,
I have to think about that a little more, but. You know what, you know, the story of the waterfront in Brooklyn was, it was a working waterfront. It was meant to, you know, accept ships and cargo and warehouses and sort of a rough and tumble area. And now that that is no longer part of our, you know, part of Brooklyn, you know, realtors, developers are starting to look at the waterfront and develop it as a waterfront should be, where people have access to the waterfront to enjoy the views and the open space. And I think that's a little bit what's going on in Greenpoint right now.
Our next story comes from BizNow, and you referenced the commercial piece, and it's really interesting because of the fact that we've touched on this topic with ever-increasing frequency, and now we've discussed how the commercial market for office space in Brooklyn, especially in the downtown area, has just seen such a tremendous uptick in primarily in the tech industry, and then we've also got healthcare industry, and you know, plenty of big operations moving into the area. But to this extent, we're now, at least according to this, it looks like Brooklyn is leading the leading everybody, leading the field in terms of office space desirability.
Well, you know, the know, we've talked about this, as you point out, in past shows. Ton of people, very talented, creative people, professionals moving into Brooklyn. And for a while, we're happy to take the L train back to Manhattan. But I think now they're starting to say, at least these are the employees, geez, I wish there was something around here that I could stay in my own borough, live and work in my own borough without having to jump on the train. So that's from the employee's point of view. From the employer's point of view, you know, these companies probably feel that they get a little free publicity by having a Brooklyn address. You know, there's a little cachet, you know, to that made in Brooklyn, Brooklyn address, manufacture in Brooklyn, made in Brooklyn. I think all of that is, you know, you get a lot of free advertising, a lot of free, I wouldn't even say advertising, it's credibility, some sort of stature, status by having a Brooklyn address. So I'm guessing the employers and the companies are saying, you know, why should I be at 123 Madison Avenue when I can be, you know, in some address, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York, or Greenpoint, Brooklyn, New York, or Red Hook, Brooklyn, New York. So I think the employers and the companies are also, you know, using the address as some sort of marketing advertising tool.
Yeah, and it, just like in some of the other stories we spoke about tonight about the construction going up, and it almost seems like now there's almost a race between commercial and residential to get to these old warehouses or vacant lots or places that, you know, have either been in disrepair or have been in disuse for years because they were, like you said, part of a an industry that's in Brooklyn's past, but now it seems like, you know, folks that might have been developing these spots for condos and co-ops not too long ago are now being faced with competing with something where they may never have expected. You know, Amazons of the world coming in and gobbling up huge swaths of real estate for office space, of all things. And it just seems like every time we do one of these recaps where this is a topic, the it's an ever-expanding list of real estate Illuminati who seem to be weighing in on this as and talking about this topic. It seems like that it just keeps growing and growing and growing of who's giving their two cents on the commercial expansion of Brooklyn.
And I think we have time for one more story.
Yes, our last article. We're going to wrap it up with just a brief story. Again, another neighborhood nod. It's just a note of we often hear about the, you know, celebrities who are in living among us and walking among us. And in this case, a mansion in Park Slope is now the new home for John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, two up-and-coming rising stars in Hollywood. John Krasinski was made famous from his role in The Office sitcom and has recently branched out into film, and Emily Blunt is to start in a number of films, and now she's leading lady status herself. But it's interesting to always see where a celebrity buys a place in Brooklyn and it becomes major news because they're all trying to escape from Hollywood, and Brooklyn is their destination of choice.
Yes, that is. You know, hey, credit once again, we go back to the cachet of the Brooklyn address, the coolness of the address, and, you know, it's interesting that they're selling their California properties, their Los Angeles properties, Hollywood Hills properties, in order to buy in Prospect Park. So that is quite a change from what we've been used to celebrities doing. But you can't resist Brooklyn. You can't resist saying, I have a property in Brooklyn. And saying I have a property in Hollywood Hills just doesn't cut it anymore. You and a million other burnt out actors and celebrities are there, and you know you're the one of the top dogs. You know they're in the two movies that are out right now, and you know they're cutting edge and they're on the forefront of being in hip cool places, and you know Brooklyn and Prospect Park is cool. And hip.
And it is almost a real visible changing of the guard or passing of the torch when the big Hollywood studios in their heyday used to be, all the stars used to have mansions that people would travel all over the world to buy maps to take tours of just to catch a glimpse of Bob Hope's mansion or where all these celebrities lived, and now it seems like they don't live there anymore. Now they're in Brooklyn and they're secluded in their little neighborhoods, and who knows, maybe we need to get a Hollywood sign for Brooklyn and put big Brooklyn letters up onto if we had any hills around here.
Yeah, and you'd have to you could get the buses to go up and down those very narrow streets in Park Slope. But you know what I'm looking at here, it says they bought a 20-foot-wide house, 4,000 square feet, which could be nothing more than four floors of 20-by-50 house, equaling about 4,000 square feet.